Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by my friends Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage, 888-888-1172. Or AndrewandTodd.com. Biden is now underwater polling-wise in his response and his handling of the Chinese Fauci coronavirus. Biden gave a whole speech where he's just meandering the whole time. But you know who the problem is, he says? He says the problem are people that are spreading misinformation or disinformation, he calls it. He says, I want to make a special appeal to social media companies and media outlets. Please stop the deal with misinformation. He's talking about our show. He's talking about the few of us that are willing to actually dive into a contrarian fact-based narrative when it comes to our entire society's handling of the pandemic. Play cut 109.
If you haven't gotten vaccinated, do it. Personal choice impacts us all, our hospitals, our countries. I make a special appeal to social media companies and media outlets. Please deal with the misinformation and disinformation that's on your shows. It has to stop.
Meanwhile, a nurse in Cut 105 says she talks about how they're seeing more kids die of the vaccine than of COVID. Her words, Cut 105.
My name is Colette Martin. I'm an RN of 17 years, 12 years oncology. In the past 5 years, I've been a float resource nurse to all the different floors in the hospital. I'm extremely concerned with the idea of mandating this vaccine for our children. The reactions we're seeing in the hospital with adults are terrifying, and they're being ignored. Just some examples of post-vaccine reactions are blood clots, heart attacks, strokes, encephalopathy, heart arrhythmias such as atrial fibrillation. I personally had a patient die 3 months after his vaccines of pericarditis, which we know is a known side effect, diagnosed 30 days after a shot, no mention to VAERS. Majority of our nurses, nurse managers, and some doctors do not even know what VAERS is. I've spoken to our chief medicine, managers, other nurses on why we're not reporting to VAERS, and the most common response is, what is VAERS? We have chemotherapies that we know have side effects causing blood cancer, such as leukemia, in 10 plus years after giving the drug. We know this because we have real long-term trials on these drugs. We are not just seeing severe acute reactions with this vaccine, but we have zero idea what any long-term reactions are. Cancers, autoimmune, infertility, we just don't know. Our children are not even at risk for this. As of now, we have more children that's died from the COVID vaccine than of COVID itself.
Most people don't even know what VAERS is, she says. We got an email. Hi, Charlie. My name is Sammy. I'm 25 years old and unvaccinated. Thought you and your team may find this interesting and add it to your list of vaccinated problems I hear about on your show. My brothers are identical twins and they are 21 years old. Both got vaccinated, one with J&J and one with Pfizer, back in May of 2021. Both in the last 3 months have had significant heart issues. Both are healthy, 6'4", athletes, college students who exercise and take care of themselves. Clearly, we have a different take on the vaccine. But now they're starting to freak out and regret it. Both refuse the booster. They're having a ton of cardiovascular problems and problems breathing, which never happened before. Also, the Johnson & Johnson brother recently found out his pancreas is no longer working as well. Totally normal, right? 21-year-old, 6'4" athlete. Yeah, your pancreas just stops working. Also, my boss's son, also 20 years old, Notre Dame student, fully vaccinated and boosted, is having heart problems as well out of nowhere. All of this is just an FYI for you. This stuff is so scary and crazy. I think we're finally starting to see the longer-term side effects that you predicted on your show. Unfortunately, I think you're right. I'm afraid that we're going to have lots of children that are going to have lifelong side effects and they are covering it up. But meanwhile, don't worry, Joy Reid's on the case. Cut 107, she says, I feel like people who are willfully unvaccinated, fine, don't get vaccinated, but we need to start to make them pay a little bit more of a cost. Play cut 107.
Let's talk about what other countries are doing, because at some point, I feel like people who are willfully unvaccinated, fine, don't get vaccinated, but they need to start to pay a little bit more of the cost of what this is doing to our system. There are fines that are levied in places like Germany. Germany has stopped paying for the tests, the virus tests for people who choose to be unvaccinated. They've ended quarantine pay for those without vaccinations. IKEA, the company, is slashing sick pay for unvaccinated UK.
Thankfully, Joy Reid's not in charge, and thankfully her show is doing awful, so no one actually takes her seriously. But that is the way they're starting to think. They say, look, we need to start to make you pay the price if you remain unvaccinated. She's actually getting fired by MSNBC is what all reports are showing, which is delightful. But it really does continue to beg this question. When will, if ever, probably not, the people that are pushing forward the vaccine ever admit that there might be some potential failure there or potential risk associated? Biden says, I want to make a special appeal to social media companies and media outlets to stop spreading misinformation. Well, I'm wondering, the identical twins I just talked about, is that misinformation to you, Joe Biden? Is that stuff reflected in the VAERS database? We there right have a nurse right there. We played the tape. Most people don't even know what VAERS is, which is exactly the same reporting that Project Veritas mentioned. Now, we did a whole program on inflation. We did a whole program before on mail-in ballots. If early treatments were allowed, mass mail-in balloting never would have been approved. If early treatments would have been allowed, inflation never would have unfolded. If early treatments would have been allowed, vaccine mandates wouldn't have been necessary. James O'Keefe from Project Veritas, in his documents that he found and released, additionally found the following. DC bureaucrats had evidence and intentionally withheld the evidence that ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine were effective in treating COVID, but they hid it from the public. There have now been 67 ivermectin COVID-19 controlled studies that show a nearly 70% improvement in COVID patients. Despite this, though, the Project Veritas documents show that internal DC bureaucrats knew this and covered it up. They did not want the public to be made aware of the internal studies that were being discussed and pushed around ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. Fauci made sure to control the treatment guidelines for COVID that came out of the NIAID. Advising both chloroquine drugs and ivermectin. Fauci's NIAID also canceled the first large-scale trial of hydroxychloroquine very early in the disease, only after about 20 of the expected 2,000 subjects were enrolled. And we went through in great detail before the Brazil trial when it came to ivermectin. And just anecdotally, I can give you at least 50 people that I know that it took ivermectin that were having a tough time with COVID within 48 hours did a lot better. That's just anecdotally, not to mention the vitamin D and azithromycin. But it's something that we hammer on the show consistently because the choke point, the clamping down of the conversation on early treatments and the clamping down on the side effects of the vaccine, which are increasing, by the way. And by the way, if you have any firsthand experience of people that have had, or maybe yourself, adverse events to the vaccine, you guys can email us, freedom@charliekirk.com. We're unafraid to talk about it. Unfortunately, we predicted a lot of this. It's too bad. I wish we were wrong. Start the new year off with free meat. Look, everybody, Good Ranchers is amazing. And Good Ranchers is giving away 40 free chicken breasts to every order that use my promo code CHARLIE. Whoa, 40 free chicken breasts? It's a lot. That's $150 for free. You could feed a church, a family, a village 40 free chicken breasts. It's amazing. Where are you going to put all those? Well, you can eat them because they're really good. They want to help you kick the new year off right with a box of 100% American, 110% delicious chicken, beef, and seafood. Eat better, eat healthier, cook more meals at home, and enjoy loads of flavor with one of their many boxes. This is pasture-raised, antibiotic-free, better than organic chicken, and it comes individually packaged, vacuum-sealed, pre-trimmed, and best of all, right now, it's totally free. Meal prep and mealtime have never been easier because of their pre-seasoned flavors that go straight into the pan and taste so amazing. Every good rancher's order, all American ranchers, by the way, order supports American farms and ranches, donates meals to food banks, and helps you reach your new goals. Take advantage of this limited time offer today. Use promo code Charlie at checkout or visit goodranchers.com/Charlie for your 40 chicken breasts for free. Save $150 with this deal. It's a great way to start off the year. Stock up on quality beef, chicken, and seafood that makes a difference in your life and others. Go to goodranchers.com/Charlie to start 2020 on the best possible note, free, delicious meat. 40 free pieces of chicken, delicious, tender, juicy, better than organic, $150, value totally free, antibiotic free, hormone free, pasture raised, pre-seasoned flavors. Go right now to goodranchers.com/Charlie. In the continuing theme of the descent of the moral fabric of the country, USA Today, which used to be a respectable publication, came out with an article recently, and the title was that they believe that pedophiles are misunderstood. They wrote an entire article, by the way, on the day of Child Sex Trafficking Awareness Day. Let's just be clear. The day that you're supposed to talk about child sex trafficking, they say that pedophiles are misunderstood. Could you imagine if USA Today on Martin Luther King Jr. Day said that racists were misunderstood? Or on Juneteenth? USA Today was lambasted, this is on theblaze.com, for publishing an article framing pedophilia as misunderstood. Swift backlash caused the publication to delete tweets promoting the article, which was originally titled, quote, "When the public keeps getting wrong about pedophilia, the complicated research behind pedophilia." Continued by saying, "Pedophilia is viewed as among the most horrifying social ills. But scientists who study the sexual disorder say that it is also among the most misunderstood. When most of the public thinks of pedophilia, they assume it's synonymous with child abuse." USA Today researcher says, "It's actually, when we study pedophilia, we say the term describes an attraction, not an action, and use it interchangeably with abuse that fuels misperceptions." USA Today was forced to delete their Twitter thread. Yeah, I don't know if USA Today was reading the room correctly, but platforming like pro-pedophile arguments, don't think the country's there. Hopefully not yet. USA Today tweeted out, quote, "We think we know what a pedophile is. There's a lot of misunderstanding," or "there's a lot we're misunderstanding." USA Today said, quote, "A pedophile is an adult who is sexually attracted to children, but not all pedophiles abuse kids, and some who sexually abuse kids are not pedophiles." Oh, thanks for that distinction. That's super weird. USA Today says, "A previous thread did not include all the information, and the story was written behind a paywall. We made the decision to delete the thread." I do think they received, I think it's fair to say, widespread backlash as they're trying to normalize pedophilia. We've made this prediction many times on this show. You see that about, you see that in the California laws as they are decriminalizing pedophilia. You saw that with the professor who wrote about minor attracted persons. Alan Walkie or whatever, Walk from Old Dominion University professor, was placed on administrative leave. That professor will be back, obviously, for saying that we need to better understand pedophiles by calling them minor attracted persons. The professor told her class, quote, "There is no morality or immorality attached to the attraction to anyone because no one can control who they're attracted to at all." We need to think about how sick the how sick your moral compass must be if you believe this. But again, it's a college professor. This professor says, in other words, it's not who we're attracted to that's either okay or not okay. It's our behaviors and our responding to that attraction that are either okay or not okay. Walker's bio says that this professor is white, queer, and non-binary trans person. Right. Walker, the professor, says, quote, my scholarship aims to prevent child sex abuse. That research was mischaracterized by some in the media and online, partly on the basis of my trans identity. Yeah, that's the reason. Sure. Right. Now, this is a disturbing trend, and I'm not really sure there's anything that new to make of it, other than sick people aren't going to stop. How do I say this nicely? Go study ancient Greece. In ancient Greece, as it continued to fall, you know what they said? They used to say, this is a true thing. Women are for childbearing. Boys are for pleasure. That's what ancient Greece used to say. The pace at which the civilization is even entertaining some of these ideas is stunning for some of us even in the news media. I'm pleased that they had to change the headline, but what kind of editor allowed this to happen, by the way? What editor got pitched the story? Hey, I got an idea. On Child Sex Trafficking Awareness Day, also right after Ghislaine Maxwell gets a guilty verdict, let's persuade people, pedophiles, misunderstood. Brilliant. Look, stocks are at all-time high. People are saying things are going well, but you know they aren't. Interest rates are at zero, and the government just printed $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Consumer confidence just hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8%, with parts of the United States seeing rates as high as 8%. Something is not adding up. Inflation is here, everybody, and you got to do something about it. Put some of your assets into precious metals, and it will keep your money away from the volatility markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free America the Beautiful solid silver 5-ounce coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert today at Noble Gold, and they'll run through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. So go right now to NobleGoldInvestments.com or start by calling 877-646-5347, NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. So Joe Biden is going to Congress to go speak to them, to try to persuade them to lift the filibuster. Now, they call the filibuster a Jim Crow relic, even though they used it hundreds of times. That's right, hundreds of times previously. Just last year, actually, hundreds of times in the calendar year in 2020, 327 times in the calendar year 2020, Democrats used the filibuster. And so Joe Biden is going to Capitol Hill to try to give this big speech, to try to persuade Democrats to get rid of the filibuster and to pass their John Lewis Voting Rights Act. This Democrat is more courageous than most Republicans. I don't know what to make of her. She's unusual. I'll tell you what. She's stranger than fiction, but she gets into the thorn of the Democrats. Kyrsten Sinema, she spoils Joe Biden's lunch. Play tape.
And while I continue to support these bills, I will not support separate actions that worsen the underlying disease of division infecting our country. The debate over the Senate 60-vote threshold shines a light on our broader challenges. There's no need for me to restate my longstanding support for the 60-vote threshold to pass legislation. And there's no need for me to restate its role protecting our country from wild reversals in federal policy.
And she says, quote, in the speech, she believes that eliminating the filibuster will worsen the underlying disease of division. Less than an hour before President Biden arrives on Capitol Hill to pitch Democrats on eradicating the filibuster, Arizona Democrat Kyrsten Sinema went to the Senate floor to reiterate she is not backing off her position to uphold it. Sinema said eradicating the filibuster would not guarantee that, quote, we prevent demagogues from being elected, and that getting rid of it would merely be treating the symptom of partisanship and not on the underlying problem. Now, let's just stop here. I can keep going. Why is Sinema doing this? Well, this is selfishness actually working at its best. Arizona is an increasingly purple state, but it certainly isn't California. And Kyrsten Sinema knows that. Now, Mark Kelly, for whatever reason, if they were smart, Mark Kelly would play this role right now, but I don't know. I don't know what Mark Kelly is doing. I don't even know if Mark Kelly cares. I see him nowhere. He is nowhere to be found. But Sinema, I think Sinema wants to be a senator for a lifetime. I think Sinema is creating herself. I think she realizes that America is becoming increasingly polarized. I think Sinema realizes that the entrenched two parties are going to be battling it out. And I think Sinema is licking her chops with opportunity where Sinema can become one of the most important members of government. And by the way, she could make a very dangerous vice presidential candidate. And let's just be very clear. If I'm complimenting a Democrat, she's shaking the matrix. I think that's really fair to say. So she's saying that by eliminating the filibuster, it will worsen the underlying disease of division. And look, Sinema's making this argument that the filibuster is there to protect the rights of the minority. So someone just emailed us freedom@charliekirk.com. So is the game over for the Democrats? If Sinema does not change her mind, and if Sinema means what she says, it's done. The cake is baked. Play tape.
Viewed either as a weapon of obstruction or a safety net to save the country from radical policies, depending on whether you serve in the majority or the minority. But what is the legislative filibuster other than a tool that requires new federal policy to be broadly supported by senators representing a broader cross-section of Americans? A guardrail, inevitably viewed as an obstacle by whoever holds the Senate majority, but which in reality ensures that millions of Americans represented by the minority party have a voice in the process.
And so look, let's be very clear. Kyrsten Sinema is still pro-abortion. She's still really bad on immigration. She even says that if it came up to a vote, she would vote for the voting rights legislation. So she's trying to split the baby here. She's going to receive the menace of the left, and she knows that. But I think she might just be giving a little crumb saying that she agrees with this. The point is that she's saying, I refuse to get rid of the 60-vote threshold for this bill. She's saying, if this bill is so great, then let's get to 60 votes to pass it. And she refuses to lift the filibuster. And it's a really bizarre thing. So it would require 50 Democrats to get rid of the 60-vote threshold. That's essentially what it would be. So they only have right now 48. And I don't know, John Tester is wavering on this too. Maybe 47 Democrats that would say they want to lift the filibuster. Now, they know that they may never get the shot again. Why? Herschel Walker is probably going to be the next senator out of Georgia. And by the way, it couldn't have been a worse time for the Democrats for Georgia to win the national championship. Couldn't have been a worse time. No, seriously. I mean, Herschel is legend status in state of Georgia. Heisman Trophy winner. And so the more popular University of Georgia is, that's at least 100,000 vote bump, don't you think, Connor? At least. Raphael Warnock, Raphael Warnock's got a lot of problems. He's never won a Heisman. No, we don't need to fact check that. I could tell you for certain, Raphael Warnock has never won a Heisman Trophy. And Mark Kelly is wavering on this too. So I don't want to get ahead of my skis. I don't want to get ahead of where we're at right now. But it sure looks like Biden's entire transformation of America agenda is over. But that doesn't mean that they're grasping at straws is going to be over. Cut 116. I said this at a Turning Point Action event, and I stand by it. Cut 116.
Now, I will say Kyrsten Sinema is more of a Republican than John McCain ever was. But and I'm not even saying that's a good thing. I'm saying that's the way it is. And at least she's holding the line in the filibuster.
What channel was that on? Peacock or something? Something bizarre. I don't know where you pulled that clip. But it's totally true. Look. And it stayed true. I said that back in July. And here we are in January. And let's just be honest with ourselves. We got lucky. Part of life is luck. Part of life is blessing. Call it luck, blessing, whatever. Chance, happenstance, fate, whatever you want to call it. We didn't earn this with Sinema. She gave it to us. Okay? We may never get this chance again. She is bailing out the country. She really is. It's that bad. If they were able to get Sinema to agree to this and pass the John Lewis Voting Rights Act or H.R. 1, forget it. Instead, we have this opportunity, this window to go take back power in November. And Democrats know that. To give an idea of how unpopular Democrats are, just to give you a little bit of a window, this is why they need to get this bill passed. Joe Biden's approval rating, according to Vermont National Public Radio, okay, it's not Breitbart. Joe Biden has a 2-point advantage in his approval rating. He's only up 2 points in Vermont. Joe Biden's handling of his job as president, 45% of Vermont voters approve, 43% disapprove. And by the way, don't be surprised. That might be a Senate race that we might be able to compete in. I'm not kidding. There's an interesting candidate that might be popping up. The Quinnipiac poll, which is a typically left-leaning poll, has 51% of Hispanics disapproving of Joe Biden, 28% approving. 57% of blacks approve of Joe Biden. 40% of women approve of Joe Biden. 46% disapprove. I do just find it so interesting, though. The 14-point delta between women and men of the approval of Biden. Why is that? I don't know. What are women seeing that they like a lot in Biden by 14 points? Well, no, seriously. Is it the softer tone? Is it the open borders? Men can't stand Biden. Only 26% of men. So if you find a man, there is a 75% chance he disapproves of Biden. You see a woman, there's only a 45% chance. Yeah, Andrew said women tend towards Democrats. They skew liberal. Yeah, that's true. But they hate Kamala. That would be interesting. So why is it that women skew towards Democrats? They want weakness? Oh, that's no. They want to pretend like they're being compassionate. That's probably right, right? And Hillary even blamed women for losing. Look, Kamala Harris, she's going to go down as one of the worst vice presidents in American history. That says something. Joe Biden is already the worst president of my lifetime. Worse than Obama. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Joe Biden is a worse president than Obama. That says something. Some people disagree. It's not even close, in my personal opinion. Obama was a disaster. Joe Biden is a double disaster. But Kyrsten Sinema is basically saying, hey, the legislative dreams of Joe Biden and Chuck Schumer, they are DOA. They are dead on arrival. So let me say formally, thank you, Kyrsten Sinema. Thank you for being a self-interested politician who wants to reign forever in the state of Arizona. You probably earned it, by the way. You'll probably get elected for a long time. I could tell you, just in our little orbit of rock-ribbed grassroots conservatives, I'd say half are going to vote for Sinema. It says something. Big tech is monitoring, censoring, and mining and selling your online information. SquadPod is the solution. 100% U.S. programmed, owned, and operated. SquadPod is a convenient all-in-one app supporting your private connection with others of your choice. It's a terrific technology, and it safely brings together your family, friends, team, club, business, or congregation with SquadPod's chat, document sharing, discussion, and televideo capabilities. SquadPod applications are encrypted, protecting your communications and content without annoying advertisements. They do not censor, mine, profile, or sell your information. I haven't gotten to know the SquadPod team, and they are true patriots with a mission dedicated to your privacy, safety, and freedom of speech. Join myself and organizations such as Turning Point USA, nonprofits, and churches by adopting SquadPod as your collaboration platform. Take back control of your privacy by going to squadpod.com/Charlie. That is squadpod.com/Charlie. Kamala Harris just kind of freezes when she was asked about the 2024 ticket. Play tape.
Are we going to see the same Democratic ticket in 2024? I'm sorry. We are thinking about today. I mean, honestly, that I know why you're asking the question, because this is part of the punditry and the gossip around places like Washington, D.C. Let me just tell you something. We're focused on the things in front of us.
She just kind of melts down. What my favorite part of it is just the staring at him for like 2 seconds. How do I? And by the way, do you notice she didn't answer the question? Now, everybody, in case you've had enough, there is something special that is developing. Some of you might be thinking, hey, we may never be able to win the presidency again if Michelle Obama runs. I don't know. Michelle Obama seems like she's having a pretty nice life. She's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. She hangs out at Martha's Vineyard. She gets to go to Italy. She does whatever she wants. So they want to bring someone who actually wants to be president back into the fold. And there is one person who more than anyone else will never go away. And that is Hillary Clinton. That's right. Hillary Clinton is being seriously probed. Yes, by John Durham. But she's being seriously pushed, I should say, by Democrats to run in 2024. You type in Hillary Clinton to Google, it's all over the place. Hillary Clinton 2024 speculation. Washington Post, the real sleeper Democrat 2024 ticket. Hillary Clinton's 2024 election comeback is what it says. How old is she? She's 74? So she would be 77 when she ran? Look, we used to say that was too old, and now we have Biden. But it's the same generation of people that have been fighting with each other for the last 40 years. It's the same 10 people. It's John Kerry covering for Joe Biden, covering for Hillary Clinton, covering for Bill Clinton, covering for Bob Mueller. It's the same group of criminals. And they're all within like 5 years of each other, and they all got their political start at the same time. And here they are in their late... covering for Chuck Schumer and covering for Nancy Pelosi and did cover for Harry Reid, a.k.a. Sparky Murderer. All these people that have been covering for each other. Yeah, I mean, I will say that I'm enthused about the idea of Hillary Clinton getting back into politics. I am. I have a different perspective on Hillary. I think she's super evil, obviously. I don't think she would be as bad of a president as Biden. I don't. I think she'd be awful. But I don't think Hillary Clinton would allow herself to become as unpopular as Biden. I don't. I think she'd be awful. I think she's evil. I mean, I think she's a despicable human being. But I also think she'd never become president. I think people hate her. She has a aura of unlikability. She is a master of that. And don't forget, Trump beat her before. He did. And that was the one where she was supposed to be president. And Biden has... Basically, Biden has fully admitted. I mean, Biden is within the polling margin of error in Vermont. I think the presidency's over for him. Okay, like he's within 2 points in Vermont. He has no political capital. It's the kamikaze presidency. Run it into the ground. Get what you can done. Be the bridge. Get out. And it's only just started, by the way. And just so you know, and I'm not big into this sort of stuff, there is going to be an economic catastrophe coming up. The market is going to correct. Inflation's only going to continue. We have a value crisis. Just be ready. But by the way, the kamikaze presidency might have missed their target and just landed in a random field. The Durham probe could be a big problem for Hillary, but I'm enthused about this. I am. I think the more Democrats put up machine politicians that have lost already at the ballot box, and not fresher, more exciting people. I mean, the Democrats are so dumb. If the Democrats ran people like Matthew McConaughey and kind of like the cool, somewhat moderate Democrats, that would win over a lot of people. Instead, they're like, you know what? Let Hillary Clinton. That's what America wants. Be my guest. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.